for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, October the 28th, 2009. Carol McCarroll is the speaker of this service, teaching on Our God Provided Weapons to Win Spiritual Warfare.
Brother Glenn, I appreciate that, and I pray that as you take this material concerning Heart of America Bible College and Theological Seminary, that you'll consider it. I'd like to say a couple of words about that, if I might. I have always been interested in Christian education, and we have had a Bible training institute in our churches that we've pastored forever. In 1983, we established a Charismatic Bible Institute in Heart of America Christian Fellowship, Heart of America Church, and in that same year, I began working on my doctorate of theology. I hadn't been in school for a long time, and I always had a desire to go ahead and finish my doctoral studies, but I couldn't find any place that I could go that did not require some type of residential requirement. And then I found Kingsway Christian College, and I found out that I could complete my doctoral work by correspondence, and that was great for me. I already had my undergraduate and my graduate degrees. By the way, that doesn't make you a great preacher. Jesus Christ makes you a preacher, and it's His anointing upon you. But I want you to know that we live in a day and a time where if you have a degree under your belt, it's going to be a good thing for you. I'm speaking with the voice of experience. Amen. Anyway, it took me 5 years to finish my doctorate, and so in 1988, we upgraded our Bible Institute to a full-fledged chartered Bible college accredited by the International Association of Bible Colleges and Theological Seminaries. And Bible colleges all over the United States will accept our credits and our degrees. Secular schools may accept some of our credits, but we're not interested in that. Anyway, it was a joy to us to begin a Bible college that is an accredited course of study in our school. And of course, our college is non-traditional, and this is the thing that really, really touched my heart. We have classes one night a week, and our students can take up to 12 hours in that one night a week. Now, our accrediting society says that's fine as long as we do some practical ministries. So for every hour, or I should say every course that our students are enrolled in, they're required to do 1 hour of practical ministry every week. So if you're enrolled in one course, it's 1 hour of practical ministries, two hours, and so forth. Now, practical ministries means that you're doing some practical ministry. You may be teaching a Sunday school class. You may be cleaning up the church. You may be singing in the choir. You may be taking care of the nursery. You may be doing outreach in the jails, in the prisons. All types of ministries are available and open. Practical ministries. Now, most of our people are already doing those practical ministries, but now they're earning Bible college credit for it. You understand? And that's the wonderful thing about it. And not only is it a service to the people. Now, it's not just serving the people in our church, but we have people from all over the Kansas City metropolitan area, out in the rural areas, and then through our correspondents, we have students all over the United States. And we're reaching out in some of the third world countries now. In fact, we have some people here I wasn't even expecting to be here. And they're here tonight. They're graduates of our school. Reverend Melvina Ruffin, stand up, Sister Ruffin. Her son, Reverend Howard Ruffin. Both of them are doctorates, praise the Lord, and have earned them. And they came, Brother Glenn, the reason they're here, they got some literature, and they saw my name on there, and they said, well, Dr. McCarroll's going to be there, so we want to go too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And they pastor a great church together, mother and son. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Give them a big hand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's another gentleman here tonight who's had a terrific influence upon Sister McCarroll and our life. Now, we said we have a special calling, and our calling is not only a great church, but to reach young people for the Lord Jesus Christ. In case you didn't realize it, our schools today in our nation are they're missing the mark. And missing the mark, hamartia, that's what it means. They're missing the mark as far as education and character and all the things that our schools would be teaching our boys and girls. In the St. Louis area, we were just there a few weeks ago, and better than 60% of the high school students in the inner city in St. Louis drop out. I'd like to say that Kansas City is much better, but it's 55% in Kansas City. 5% better. And as you go in every urban area in this nation, they're facing the very same things. Now, Brother Oliver brought a tremendous message today, and I told him later, I said, Brother, if you keep on practicing, you'll become a great preacher one of these days. Fantastic message today. Boy, I appreciated that. But what we have to understand is that we're in an age today that if we're going to have a revival in America, we've got to reach our children. We've got to reach our children, and we've got to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1980, while we were still pastoring in Paducah, Kentucky, we pastored there for 12 years, we opened up an ACE school. And that's quite a story as to how the Lord led us to do that. Tonight, the founder and longtime president of Accelerated Christian Education is here with us. And I'm so honored that he's here, and I count him a wonderful, very close friend. And I thank the Lord for him. I'm going to ask Don Howard to come up here if he would, Don. Dr. Don Howard, give him a great big hand. Amen. Amen. You have to talk to my chest, Don.
All right. Let me take the whole thing, a capsule, and say that when our nation was founded, the first schools were held in churches. First teacher was a pastor. First textbook was the Bible. And this book impregnated into the hearts and minds of a new generation, put our nation all the way to the top.
Amen.
The envy of the nations of the world. And then the left began to move in and attack the schools, and they started dropping. Now, character and culture are like the chicken and the egg. Which comes first? Character goes up, culture goes up. Character comes down, culture comes down. And we're facing the greatest crisis in our culture today and the character of America.
Amen.
It's under attack like you wouldn't believe.
Amen.
Go back over all the impact is nothing compared to what the gurus in the education process, the socialists, the humanists, I mean, you've seen it come through our whole political system now. The people who are running and ministering education in America are influencing these leftist philosophies into the schools. And we're at a worse turn of events than you can imagine. So what are you going to do about it? Well, we're helping now with the Bible in the public schools. Our goal is a major global biblical education reform and another surge to start up church schools as this recession levels off and starts to turn around. We expect another surge of development of Christian schools in Bible-believing churches, but now we're penetrating the public schools. We actually have models, and Texas gave us an unprecedented 15 charters to put our program into the public schools. And now that's, I don't have time to go into all this, but our prayer right now is that you pray about, we're looking at a church home for the Eagle Project, which is the goal to put the Bible back into the public schools. And this is my friend and my brother that I love and fellowship with, and we're probably going to be moving to Kansas City very soon. So a lot of changes in the future. But pray for the putting the Bible back into the public schools.
Yes.
That's the only thing. This is the only thing that will turn it around.
Yes.
There is nothing
yes.
else.
Amen.
Nothing can do it. God
Amen.
Bless you. I love you. I appreciate all the friends that are here. Those that have worked in your generation. We're now equipping a new generation to take it onto the stars.
Yes. Thank Amen. You. Thank you, Dr. Howard. God bless you. Amen. 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 Another fellow here tonight who's been here all week with me and is also with me in Louisville, Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. And as a matter of fact, I was there whenever he came out. Hallelujah. And I named him Tommy McCarroll. Tom, come up here. My brother two ways, Tom McCarroll, Dr. Tom McCarroll. Give him a welcome tonight. Amen. Amen. Greet the people, brother.
I've enjoyed this so much. We've been blessed by being here. I want you to know, this fellow went off to service in 1957. In 1959, he came home and got saved. He spent the last year of his hitch in the Army being discipled and starting to preach. He came home in August of 1960, and he had a desire to see his family saved. He began to talk to me about Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus that thing. I've never got so tired of hearing about Jesus in all my life. But it wasn't what he said that affected me. It was that I saw a change in his life. And on August 21st, 1960, about 5:30 in the afternoon, in our home in 2016 Jackson Street in Anderson, Indiana, beside of a bathtub, I asked Jesus to come into my heart.
Amen.
It's been an adventure now for 49 years. And I look forward for it being an adventure for eternity. And I just say, God bless each one of you.
Amen. Amen. Tom is a short-term missionary to the world. Been to Russia several times, Africa, India. Where?
Mexico.
Mexico. Amen. And just completed his first book on cults and occults. Amen. Proud of you, Tom, and appreciate you doing good. Amen. The conference we were in Louisville, Kentucky, two weeks ago now, Tim Bowman, who's a pastor of a great church, founder and pastor of a great church in Moline, Illinois, said something. I mean, you need to write this down. I mean, this is something. You need to get hold of this. You need to get hold of it, digest it, hang on to it. When he was going into the ministry, his father, who had been a longtime pastor, called him aside, and he said, "Son, remember this, that even a bad sermon is a good sermon if it's short enough." Now that was your time, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now last night, some folks told me later that they couldn't see the board because of this pulpit, those of you on this side. So I'd get a couple of fellows to help pull this pulpit over to the side because we're going to do some PowerPoint again tonight. While they're moving out, why don't you open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Is that going to work okay? Is that going to be okay for you, Greg? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And we're going to look at the weapons that God has provided for us for spiritual warfare. The weapons that God has provided for us in spiritual warfare. All right? Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Let's stand together, can we, and give honor to God and to His Word.
I said 5:17. It's 5:10. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You know, I thought I almost made a mistake. My wife told me that I'd never made a mistake. I'm glad that she's not here tonight. That's 10, verse 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Verse 4 says, let's read it together. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have the privilege of being in your house. We welcome you here, Lord. We ask you, sweet Holy Spirit, to move by your power in each one of us here tonight. And Lord, may the message that you've laid upon my heart to share be received, and may we be as the Bereans to study, to see if your word is in what's being said. And Lord, may we hide it in our hearts and put it to work for your kingdom. That the end result will be, my God, that souls will be saved and that our land will be reclaimed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, New Testament writers tell us about the tactics of the devil. And we need to read these scriptural admonitions that these inspired men of God have given to us. And we need to put them into practice in our daily lives. The first one is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Would you read it with me, please? Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. Read that with me. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right, the first one, Ephesians 4:27, don't give place to the devil. Don't cave in to the devil. And then James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will do what?
Flee.
Flee from you. Amen. I like that. I like to see the devil run on down the road.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, read that with me. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All right, again, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Neither give place to the devil. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In the scriptures, we have two illustrations that I'd like to point out to you concerning this very thing. The first illustration is of Job. The Bible says that Job had a hedge built around about him by the Lord. And inside that hedge, God blessed him and prospered him. He prospered him with a great family. He prospered him with character. He prospered him with possessions. But prowling around the edge of that hedge was the old devil, looking for a hole to get through his hedge. Let's look at what it says in Job chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. Job said when he received the news that his children had been killed, that his flocks and his herds had been confiscated, everything that he held near and dear as far as possessions were concerned were now gone.
Job 3:25-26 says, "For the thing which I greatly feared," say it, "feared, is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Fear caused a hole in the hedge of Job that caused him to lose what he had gained. Fear. Let's look at the second illustration. This illustration is of Judas. Now, Judas was chosen by the Lord to be one of his disciples. Now, we made reference to this last night. But now notice in St. John chapter 13, verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Now, the first thing that Satan did was to put it into the heart of Judas. The thought. He tempted him. One old preacher said one time, said, "You can't," said, "being tempted isn't a sin." Now, if it had stopped right there, it wouldn't have hurt. But it didn't stop right there. The old preacher went on to say, he said, "You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you sure can keep them from roosting in your hair." That's what temptation is. Satan put it in his heart. He tempted him. Now look at verse 27. "And after the sop," after the dinner, "Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly." First of all, he had the thought. And now in verse 27, Satan entered into him. As he entertained that thought, and by the way, they gave him money for betraying Jesus. And the scripture says what about money? Money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. Do not entertain those thoughts. Hello? How many of us here tonight can say, "Brother McCurl, I understand well about entertaining thoughts"? Yeah. Because as we entertain them and play with them, we're asking for a lot of trouble. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty, the scripture says. Now we're going to look at the weapons, some of the weapons that the Lord has given to us. First of all, we're going to look at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say that with me. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, angelic protection. Say that. Angelic protection. And then thirdly, or final, your authority. The blood of Jesus, angelic protection, and your authority. These are three of the weapons that God has given to us that we can use against the devil in our spiritual warfare. And by the way, we are in a war. Now, if everything is going easy for you, something's wrong. Whenever trouble comes your way, you know that you're doing something right. So let's apply some of these weapons. The weapon of continual cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says the weapon of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I put another word in there in my notes. The weapon of continual cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 17. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We must walk in the light as He is in the light, and as we do, His blood cleanses us from all sin. Now notice the word cleanseth, TH, on the end of that word. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now that TH in the King James Version means that it began here, and it continues. It's a continuous thing. His blood continues to wash us as we walk in the light as He is in the light. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "Are you in the light tonight? Are you walking in the light tonight?" Amen. It's important to do that. Don't entertain those thoughts that the enemy is going to put into your mind. Don't entertain them. Don't let those birds roost in your hair. Amen. But instead, resist him, and he will flee from you. Be diligent. Be sober. Be watchful.
resist the devil, and we will overcome him. And as we walk in the light, we're in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ washes us and continues to wash us from all sin. Exodus 12:13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. All of us recognize that as a reference in the land of Egypt when the Hebrews were about to be set free. And the Lord told them to take the Passover lamb and to sacrifice it and take its blood and apply it to the doorposts and the mantle of their homes. And that night, the death angel came through. But every little home that was covered with the blood was spared. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's a good time to say amen.
Amen.
How about this one? Can we do this? Hallelujah. And how about this one? Glory to God. Don't you know there was a hallelujah time going on in those little Hebrew huts? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The other parts of the country, there wasn't much fun going on. The death of the firstborn. Now, in the New Testament, we are told that that was a type, that blood, that Passover lamb, was a type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood. Type means a picture of. And so that was a picture of what Jesus does for us as He died upon the cross, shed His blood, and we by faith accept that sacrifice that our Savior gave upon the cross by faith, believing in Him. It was a wonderful thing that night whenever my brother who testified earlier knelt beside the bathtub. I was getting ready to go to church Sunday night. And I'd been talking to him about Jesus. That night I was ready to go to church and I was in the bathroom shaving, getting all dolled up, you know, going to the house of God. And Tom was in there talking to me and I was talking to him about Jesus. And Tom said, I think I'll go with you. He said, maybe I'll get saved tonight. And I said, brother, are you thinking about getting saved tonight? He said, yeah, I am. I said, well, you don't have to wait till we go to church.
All right.
And the next thing I knew, old Tom was on his knees beside the bathtub, praying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He died upon the cross for my sins. I believe that the Father raised Him from the dead. And I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart and take away my sins. It's been good for 49 years. You heard His testimony tonight. Somebody give God the glory. Hallelujah. Fill the house with praise. Amen. This is the answer for our lives, for our families' lives, for our nation. The blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. The second weapon. Did I push the wrong thing? All right. Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that secret place of the Most High is under the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, just raise your hands and sing it to Him. The Jesus that mountains white as snow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.